favorite time of day.
And this is the first podcast in a long time we've been in the same room.
It's different when I get to look into your eyes, like, in the flesh, and I can reach out and touch you.
Oh, it's nice to be touched by you. Also, I did my hair and makeup for you.
I know, you look very pretty. I'm, like, fresh out of the shower, very clean scrubbed, which I think is important for our listeners to know.
It's so true. Kristen's wearing the most cute outfit. She's getting ready for a cute meeting, and we're doing a cute podcast. Everything is cute.
Did you hear us? Everything!
Everything! We have the most fun podcast to bring to you today, or at least we think it is. And if you're new to the Create Podcast, we would love to welcome you. We are Natalie and Kristen. We are best friends. We are artists, and we love jamming about all things mindfulness, spirituality, creativity, dreams, desires, pleasure, play, joy, all the things that we hope activate you and turn you on so much that wherever you are listening right now, on a subway, in a car, in your bed, you start getting naughty ideas about things that you want to do and how you want to be intimate with life.
Oh yeah, that's right. We want to turn you on. If your body is buzzing by the end of this podcast, we have done our jobs.
So we are bringing you this podcast that is straight out of a really hilarious experience that we found ourselves in recently. And it was so good. We kind of knew the universe was giving us this circumstance so we could do a podcast on it.
And you know, we love to talk about the idea of the universe constantly being in conversation with us. So wherever we go, whatever we are doing, if we lean into life, we can feel it having an ongoing dialogue with us. And this past weekend, on Saturday, Natalie and I went out to Malibu, like you do, on the weekend, to go visit some friends of ours. And as we were going to park, and we're in California, so we're looking at all the parking signs, we see a sign that says, "This is not an emergency zone." And we just started laughing, and we were like, "All right, message received.
I guess this is a good place to park."
But we were just laughing about how often people may want to make an emergency about what is going on. And it's like life is telling us, hey, guess what? This isn't an emergency zone. You are creating a drama, and there's not a drama here. There's a play opportunity. There's a game that is occurring. And if we get into stress, into tension, into trying to make something happen, we often create the story of an emergency when that's just not the case.
Yeah, and I often think that humans have this really uncanny ability to make our successes smaller than they are and make our problems bigger than they are. And so part of being a human being and waking up to mindfulness, I think, is learning how to put everything in the right proportion, learning how to put everything in the right size. We don't always know how to celebrate the good. Like, it's so rare for us to expand and explode upon and want to shout from the rooftops the good. We always want to minimize it. Oh, I just did that, or it was just a small thing, or it wasn't a big deal, right? But then it's like when there's something that doesn't feel good or a problem in our life, it's like we blow it out of proportion. And I sometimes think we do this so people will kind of feel sorry for us and like be like, oh man, their life is real tough. So we make it look bigger than it is. And it's just a real interesting thing to notice. Where am I making an emergency zone out of something that's just an inconvenience?
I like to say we are size queens when it comes to problems. We're like, have you seen how big my problem is? I'm going to lay my problem on this table and just knock y'all out.
Right.
I also think it's very interesting in the everything is metaphor idea that as we do this podcast, there is a mini fire extinguisher. It's not real. It's a pencil sharpener, but it looks like a fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
So the idea of this is not an emergency, it's not even a fire extinguisher.
Right.
I just love when there's a constant metaphor happening in life. And I agree with you that we make our problems so big or our stresses so big. We get some payoffs out of that.
Yeah.
One, it takes us out of the present moment. And I think when we enter the present moment completely, there is a dropping of everything else that wants to occur in order to really be here. So I have to drop what came before this. I have to drop my outside stories to really be here and be present. And when I do that, it's just quite possible I might meet my own soul.
Mm.
And we're actually terrified of this beautiful, loving presence inside of us and all of its power. So it's like we get a hall pass on meeting ourselves when we're in the story of how big our problem is, or we're in the story of an emergency. Also, I think we get a false sense of worth from feeling like, look at all that I am overcoming in my life.
Sure.
Because we feel like we need to validate ourselves. Natalie and I have been riffing all week long on worthiness and deservingness. What was the thing that you posted on Facebook this morning that was so delicious?
Oh my gosh, I can't even remember. Shall I look? Was
yeah,
it good
please
enough
do.
To look?
Yeah, no, it was good enough to look. Because when I read it, I was like, oh, that's everything we've been talking about all week. So Natalie and I have been dismantling a lot of our achieving. We've been talking about how we both are these perfectionist girls really interested in like... our whole lives and getting straight A's and doing things the right way. And that came out of a place of when we were little girls trying to achieve attention, right? Because we wanted to feel loved.
Yeah.
As opposed to just being able to sit still, sit in our own knowingness of how loved we are without performing.
Yeah.
And so part of our ongoing conversation has been, perhaps the universe loves us so much that we're just here to have fun, to play, to enjoy each other, that we don't need to get it right. We don't need to earn approval, and we don't need to make a story in how hard we're working. And that also includes making a story in all we're overcoming to be here.
Right. And it's almost that thing of, can we look at our life, our very... the fact that we are here in a human body having this experience, can we look at that as the thing that says, oh, I'm worthy?
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't be here otherwise. Like, so now it's like I've been brought to the restaurant, the buffet's in front of me. I don't have to ask permission to eat it. I'm here.
Yes.
And I'm here because I'm meant to enjoy it. I'm meant to savor it. I'm meant to experience it. And I'm meant to experience life in a way where I get to discern, I like this thing on the buffet better than this thing, right? We get to know our preferences. We get to know what we value. We get to know who we like and what turns us on and what we're interested in. And that is information. So we get to know ourselves. And that's the whole game of this thing. We're not here to prove that we're worthy. We're here to know that we already were worthy. So now we get to enjoy the person that we're here being.
And that's all, that's the whole game is, can I enjoy the person that I'm here to be? Like the person that I've incarnated as is the biggest gift life has ever given to me. The other morning I was waking up, and as I was waking up, I heard a voice say inside of me, fall in love with your own beautiful spirit.
Mm.
Like, there is the most gorgeous energy inside of me that is falling in love worthy.
Mm.
But if I go way deep in, I'm going to get the pants charmed off of me by this beautiful, loving, creative, silly, playful energy inside.
You know, part of my own growth, or how I can recognize my own growth as I've spent now, you know, almost 20 years in these kinds of spiritual tools and conversations, and some of those years good and some of those very ugly. But what I can notice is, at the onset of kind of learning these tools, I always remember myself being the person who always had my gaze on someone else. And it was like there was always someone else who it would be better to be, right?
Oh,
I wish I could come back with those legs. Oh, I wish I had the chances that person has. Oh, I wish I had the money that person has. Oh, I wish I had the kind of relationship that person has. And there was really this outward gaze of always thinking someone else had it better. And I really think that a true testament of the internal growth and shifting is I really do stand in my life and think, I'm so glad I get to be Natalie Roy on the planet. Like, I feel so lucky that I came here as Natalie Roy. And there's still tons of things I want that I don't have yet. There's still tons of ways that I'm playing this manifestation game that I'm not saying I've arrived, or I'm not saying everything is perfect or everything is complete. It's just, wow, it's fun to be me on the planet. It's fun that Kristen Hange is my best friend. It's fun that I have an awesome love in my life. It's fun that I get to be in LA with you today, right? And so there's this constant collecting of evidence that has happened over time of why where I am is actually a great place to be. And initially, like I said, the instinct when I was first learning these tools was someone else or somewhere else was always a better place to be. Mm. And so part of it was faking it till I made it, right? Part of it was I had to start with gratitude. I had to start a contentment journal. I had to start trying to collect evidence of why being me was a good idea, because my conditioning told me someone else has it better. You know, even if I get an A, someone else got an A plus, someone else has more money, someone else has more chances. It was really a long time of choosing consciously to rewrite that story. Mm. Even if I didn't believe necessarily what I was rewriting, I just knew if I believed that new story, I would feel better.
Yes.
And now, so many years down the line, I can really say that old story doesn't even exist anymore. And it's interesting because I've been learning French, and my French teacher said to me, when you're learning a new language, for example, I speak English and I'm learning French, and I will see this fire extinguisher in front of me, and my mind, as an English-speaking person, sees it and says, that's red. As you start to learn a new language, you see it in your first language, English, then you say it in French, rouge, that's the new thing I'm trying to learn. But always your mind is still making that initial connection. First it's red, then it's rouge. And over time, when you get mastery over the new language, you see it and it's rouge.
Mm.
And you drop that bridge of the first language. So I think when we're learning spiritual lessons, it's like we speak an old language of lack. We speak an old language of problems, conditioning. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. That's the old language. So when I want to start speaking a new language that says, I'm worthy, I'm enough, I love myself, what it feels like is going to happen for some time is it's going to sound like, I'm not worthy. I am worthy.
Yeah.
And we're going to have both languages at the same time for a while.
Yeah.
And over time, I'm not worthy won't be there anymore. But most of us, I think, give up the game before we get to that point. We think, I must be failing. I must not be good at this because unworthy keeps coming up. But of course it keeps coming up because it's your language of origin. And what we're trying to do in learning a new way of being, a new way of seeing the world, that those new belief systems, is by that slow dismantling of reinforcing the new language until it becomes in our body and in our blood as much as the first one was.
That's why I love affirmations so much. And a lot of people talk about how uncomfortable affirmations feel when they first start with them. And yeah, of course, it's like putting on brand new clothes or putting on brand new shoes that you haven't broken in. Maybe they're very beautiful shoes, I don't know. But that you need to play with it and get your brain used to thinking those thoughts. So then after a while, those thoughts become automatic. Right? When you start to anchor yourself into peace dwells within me and is accessible to me at all times, you might have to play with that a little bit before it starts to become like, yeah, that is true. I see that. I feel that. So thoughts we're not used to thinking are going to feel uncomfortable, and we're going to retrain our brains about what might be possible. And if everything is story, then we have the ability to choose and create our own story. So know that whenever you see the story of emergency or stress come, you can just drop right into, this is not an emergency zone.
Right. There may be an action step for me to take. Mm-hmm. There may be something coming up that I need to take an action around, right? But there's a difference between my house is on fire, I have to get everyone out,
yeah,
and my feelings are hurt,
mm-hmm,
right? And our body doesn't necessarily know how to differentiate what we're telling it.
Yep.
So if we tell our body this is an emergency, it will respond with your sympathetic nervous system going into fight or flight. It will try to protect you because it thinks it is in danger. If you tell your body, I am in danger, then fight or flight is happening. Your
yeah.
body can only respond to the perception of the danger, whether there's danger or not. And our body, when we put it under that much constant stress, ends up getting sick. because the body doesn't know how to relax and feel safe. So we want to be so careful with our languaging when we're telling our body that there's an emergency when there isn't one, because sometimes there is an emergency. There is an action to take, right? Like sometimes someone does have a weapon pointed at you, and that is an emergency zone. And you want to be able to take action from that adrenaline, from that place. You don't want to create that adrenaline in your body when there's no real substance there. And something that psychology will talk about, there's one specific branch that talks about the difference between clean pain and dirty pain. And so a clean pain is a pain that is really happening. It's happening in the present moment, as you said, and it's a real pain. If I hit you in the arm, that is a real pain. The dirty pain, however, is the pain that we tell our body is happening even when it's not really happening. It's kind of the story we create about the thing. So there could be the me hitting you on the arm, which is a clean pain, and then the story you make up about it: Natalie doesn't like me, Natalie's mean to me, I'm always a victim, I'm never enough, people are always being awful to me. That becomes the dirty pain, and that's actually what puts your body in a traumatized state.
Right, and it makes me think that anytime I've ever been inside a real emergency, like I have been held up at gunpoint, I have dealt with suicide, like I've dealt with some deep things, and you know what happens every time? This like deep stillness takes over my body, and the right action is immediate. There's almost no thought, right? Like in the state of actual emergency, action just happens, like direct divine right action.
Like you know what to do,
yeah. Right? And so I just want to create the space where we have the ability to witness when is the outside world creating the sense of emergency, and there's another choice to be had.
That's it.
Right? So we have a fun story for you. And it starts with...
Let us just preface this by saying, so we had the parking situation where we said this is not an emergency zone, and we started having this funny conversation about how we make up emergencies when they're not really emergencies, and then we walked into this moment.
Okay, so... before this moment, we had been playing with this concept of play, of fun, that life is here for us to just play and explore. And when do we take ourselves out of that zone? So you want to give your brain something to do, like a focus point. So we decided that this week we were going to be
detectives of fun.
And if there was fun to be had, we were going to find it. And so this took lots of different forms. Like, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm taking you to the Paris Pilates studio.
Oh, so fun. All the girls who worked there were wearing little pink berets, and we bought little pink socks, and we had so much fun. Then we leave Paris Pilates, and we're in the car about to drive away, and Kristen and I see a sign that says free samples. And we said, well, if we're being detectives of fun, we pull over right now and go see what these free samples are. So that's the kind of thing that started snowballing for us, is we just kept saying, oh, I know we weren't planning on going over here, but it looks fun. And then it would open up to the next adventure.
And so we noticed our days were going by so fast because we were having so much unexpected joy. And as Natalie Roy likes to tell me, unexpected joy is 7 times more fulfilling than expected joy. So we're sitting at lunch at one point, and I said, Natalie, what would be joyful to you? And she says, I think I would like a massage.
So true. I just had this craving where my body just wanted to get a rub down. And Kristen said, well, I know this really nice spa we could go to. And we said, yes, let's go there immediately.
And I said, you know, it's kind of she and fancy. Do you want me to check the prices? And Natalie goes,
no, we're going. Honestly, I was like, oh, maybe this is going to be too expensive. But my body had the instinct of like, that's going to be fun. So let's do it.
So I called to book the massages, and she goes, oh, there's 2 of you. We have a friend special right now. So if both of you are coming, you'll get this like discounted rate.
Which was a really good discount. Like, I want to say it was like 1/3 off of the massage. It made it very reasonable. And we love, because we always say it's great to do everything in communion and community. And, you know, life is more fun when we do it together. It's like, yes. And you get a discount on massages when you do it together.
So we go to Santa Monica to our fun little day spa. And as we get in, the lovely lady is showing us around, and she's taking us to our lockers.
And it's beautiful. There's saunas, and there's steam rooms and jacuzzis. cheese, and you can just hang out and have tea, and it's heaven.
And you know when they have the water with all the citrus cut up in it, and that
so
amazing vanilla tea. Okay, so here we are at our lockers, and we're just about to disrobe and enter our spa bliss when... the fire alarm goes off. And we look at each other, and I'm like, should I continue taking off my clothes? Like, what do I do right now? Because this alarm is going off.
Yes.
And I look to someone, and she's like, we just checked. It's not an emergency. You can continue to enjoy the spa.
Basically, someone pulled the fire alarm accidentally, and so they assured us it would be turned off soon and to continue life as normal.
Now, this alarm does not go off, and now we're watching women that are not having a good time, who are like deciding to leave the building, like they're marching out, they're not having it. And Natalie and I just kind of look at each other because we're so ready for our spa experience.
And we thought, well, we've already been told that there isn't really an emergency. And it's almost like the alarm is still going off because it doesn't know there's no emergency. And we were like, oh, this is like what our mind does.
Mm-hmm.
When we tell our body, oh, there's an emergency, it's like the mind starts going crazy. And this is the noise of the mind,
yep,
just keeping going. You're not good enough. You can't do it. There's an emergency, da, da, da. And we thought, well, what if part of us being detectives for fun was how much fun can we have with this alarm going off? How can we not let it affect our fun? So we got cotton balls. We put them in our ears, and we went and sat in the jacuzzi tub.
Like you do. And what was so cool is we put the cotton in our ears, and Natalie turns to me, and she says, oh, listen to how your voice sounds when you speak with the cotton in your ears. When you block out the outer world, you can actually hear yourself more. And I was like, deep, talk to me, sister. And it was true. When you turn down the din of this outer world that wants to get your attention and convince you there's an emergency, all of a sudden you can hear the truth of your own spirit.
Mm.
And we just ended up having the best time.
The best time. Now, the alarm did stay on for quite a long time.
I want to say at least an hour.
Yeah, and... we really had kind of a spa to ourselves,
yes,
for the most part, because
like
everyone left.
But I fell asleep in the relaxation room, and sweet Natalie brought me an aromatherapy towel. It was quite lovely.
Oh, it was actually an amazing experience to say, if it's not my job to fix the noise, and if there's not really an emergency, what else is possible for me? And we actually did have a wonderful time. Eventually, the noise got turned off. By that point, we were basically the only people in the spa. We had the best massages. I mean, the gentleman who massaged me was the sweetest, kindest. The care he took of just, I literally felt like, this is so divine. This person is giving me so much. It was such a beautiful exchange. And then we go to check out and they say, well, because of, you know, your horrible experience with the alarm. And we're thinking, we didn't have a horrible experience at all. Then they gave us, I forget what it was, another discount on the massage.
They gave us 20% off. So literally we had 50% off these massages.
And 4 hours at the spa.
Like, we got them for near nothing, and we were just laughing. And it brought me back to our jobs ultimately always are self-care first, and then what might be the good thing that is happening here?
Mm.
Where's the good here? And when I practice those two things, self-care first, let me take care of myself, and then what's the good right here and now for me, it transforms my experience.
Absolutely.
And it was such a great teacher because the following day, we are still being detectives for fun. We're having a great time. And there was some stuff that went down with one of my productions. There was some drama, for lack of a better word. And it was like there was lots of text messages and emails and phone calls. And it occurred like throughout the day. And I was telling Natalie, oh, it's so interesting. This is not an emergency, but there is a lot of people that want to be like inside a drama. And I'm watching myself, instead of being present in this moment, I can feel there's something in me that wants to solve it.
Yeah.
And I know that all my job is to take the right action when there's right action to take.
Yeah.
And if there's not an action to take in this moment, then my job is to deliver it over to the universe and trust that divine right action will occur. And that there, if there is an action for me to take, it will be so clear I cannot miss it. And as I was saying this to Natalie, a right action popped in. And it was really interesting just for me to watch, when am I carrying the story of something heavy and when am I allowing it to be light? And I know we've talked about that concept before on our podcast, but it was really interesting to me inside this conversation of emergency versus this is not an emergency zone, right?
Yeah, and I love how you define it as sometimes it just looks like drama.
Yeah.
And we have an addiction to drama, right?
We love it.
We
gives
love
our life
that
meaning.
Drama. Yeah, we love that gossip. We love that complaining,
mm-hmm.
right? And all of those things point our body towards the direction of there's an emergency here.
Yeah.
And I love how it showed up for you that it was this kind of other people labeling something as an emergency and then bringing it to you to co-sign on it and get into the emergency with them, right?
Yeah.
And what I loved is that I got to witness that show up for you and watch you hold your boundary and stay out of the emergency. And then I got to watch it show up in a really different way for me, where I was having a conversation with you about something from my past, and I could notice myself wanting to create a charge and an energy around something that was actually dormant in my life. And I could see the instinct in me, almost like whether it's to give myself a sense of importance, to give myself a sense of belonging, to give myself a sense of worth, to give myself a sense of I have something to do here. It's almost like I wanted to create an emergency for myself to then have something to do in solving it. And then I remember looking at you on one point and saying, and I think I shouldn't do anything. And you said, I think that's right. Right? So where am I feeling a little apathetic, a little disconnected, a little bored, right? Because we're such an overstimulated culture. We're always on our phones. We're always, there's always the next thing. It's fast. It's furious. There's always that overstimulus inside of us. So where are things just kind of okay? And then my system wants to create something to give myself something to feel excited about or to feel purposeful around.
Right. It's like we don't know that we have permission to be lazy.
Yeah.
We have permission to lie in the grass and just enjoy that it's a beautiful world. And it reminds me, yesterday morning, you were telling me about an Abraham Hicks video that you had seen. And she had told the guy who was having like all this drama, all this story about, one thing we'd love for you guys to get is that your lives would improve if you could be okay being lazy.
Yeah.
And what was the thing about just go outside if you need something to do?
So she was like, you guys are so busy making all these things to do, you know, and you think if I do all these things, my life's going to look the way I want it. She's like, if I go to work and work my butt off, then I'm going to make lots of money. And then at some point I can do something that I actually want to do. Right. She's like, you have it so backwards. She said, I would love for all of you to basically give up every single thing you're doing. And I would just give you a few things to do every day. And if you only did those few things every day, and then the rest of the time you just laid in your bed and did nothing, prosperity would come to you. Relationships would come to you. It would all come to you without you having to go out and get anything. And what she was speaking about was like getting up and getting into that sense of presence and gratitude and just being like, wow, that sky is really beautiful. Oh my gosh, the sun rose today. Like, yes, the news is telling me all these emergencies, all these things that are wrong, but man, just the fact that the sun rose today, like, can we have a moment for like winning?
Uh-huh.
Like, wow, that's something. We're on this spinning ball, like cold planet Earth, and I didn't fall off of it. That's something, right? And if we could just get super present to how awesome, and in that gratitude. And then she talked about just being in nature. Bless me.
That was the cutest little sneeze ever. That was a mouse sneeze. I'm grateful and in awe of that mouse sneeze.
You know, just like touching it. And she talked about like the fun game she liked to play is, I'm like the favorite of the universe. The universe gave me this tree to look at because it loves me so much. The universe gave me that flower to look at because it loves me so much. Oh my gosh, I am so loved that I was given all this beauty to look at and experience. And then she said, and now just go home and spend 3 or 4 or 5 pages journaling about the positive aspects in your life. Just talk about, man, you know, not all the things I wish I had or all the things that aren't going well, but man, Kristen Hange is my best friend. What? Man, we get to do this podcast together. Oh my goodness. I have this cell phone that like has all these phone numbers in it so I don't have to remember them. That's amazing. You know what I mean? Like I have a glass of water. Oh, that feels so abundant. Just riff on the positive aspects that you already have, the things that are already good. And then she said, now be lazy and do nothing. Like, it doesn't matter what else you do, but if you devoted your life to doing those things every single day, your life will drastically and dramatically change in a way where you no longer have to create drama to make your life feel interesting.
Oh, isn't it just fun to be in awe? I think we don't know we have permission to be lazy and to receive, to get to be in awe. Most people, I think, feel depleted and undernourished in the soul department because they don't know we have permission to go lay in the grass and soak up the beauty, to sit on the sand in the beach and wonder at the ocean, to just stare into your best friend's eyes and let your heart swell up with love. That the things that really make us feel wealthy and successful and prosperous in life are already given.
Yeah.
They're already right here and now. Can we be willing to let go of our addiction to emergency so that we can see that the universe is just showering us with blessings on blessings?
Right. And so if you feel that instinct come up inside of you, this feels like an emergency, this feels like a drama, this feels like a problem I have to solve, can we just take that pause, that gentle pause to say, and what if it wasn't? If there is an emergency, the divine in me knows exactly what to do with it. There's nothing for me to solve. There's nothing for me to figure out. If there is something for me to do, I will know and I will do it. But if my mind is creating a story to prove that I'm worthy or interesting or important or deserve to be here, I already know that this emergency is this distraction from everything that's actually true. I found my Facebook quote.
I was hoping you did.
And I don't know where it comes from. I've heard it before, so this is not a Natalie Roy quote, but I don't have whoever the author is. So if anyone knows who the author is, please feel free to let us know. But the quote is, I asked, in what fields did I sow seeds to deserve so very, very much? And the answer came, you were born deserving. We were all born deserving. We have nothing to prove. Our life is not here to be justified or proved. It's here to be lived and loved.
Yes. And I want to tell the story of how yesterday I was at a fancy Hollywood meeting, and you and I talk a lot about right sizing, right? Let's not make anything bigger or smaller than it is. Can everything be on the same level? Can I talk human to human and not make someone bigger than I am, right? But let me talk heart to heart. So can I walk into this meeting and just talk about, here's what I'm here to do on the planet. Here's the stories I want to tell. Let's see if there's resonance. And what was really beautiful is to see that there was all this resonance. And as we were talking about what we were interested in, I realized that I had projects that I'd already created that were the right fit for where this person and I had a similar dharma, a similar message to give in the world. And I kind of heard my inner voice say, as I was leaving the meeting, you've already done the work, right? All you have to know is that what you came here to give is what is wanted, what is needed. The reason it came up in you to give it in the first place is because there was a need in cosmic consciousness for that work to exist. Now just stand in knowing your deservingness and your worthiness. And as I was leaving the parking garage, the guy who takes your ticket to leave the underground parking, on his shirt, it said Worth, with an E at the end, but it was still Worth, as if the universe was just communicating to me, hey, we know who you are. Now stand in your worth.
Yeah. Beautiful.
We were telling Rob Bell the story of it yesterday, and he goes, even the parking guy is in on it.
Everyone's in on it.
Everyone is in on it.
Everyone's in on it. So we encourage you to let whatever noise and alarm wants to go off, let it go off. It believes it's protecting you. It's not here to harm you. Your ego thinks it's protecting you. It thinks it's keeping you alive. It's not wrong. We don't want to make it wrong. We don't want to disassociate from any parts of ourselves, including our ego, because we need it. If we didn't need it, we would have evolved past it. It's here. It's here to serve us. But let us see that it is not our master and that an emergency is only what we say it is. And as we continue to say, I am held, I am supported, I have a right to be here, I am worthy, I am enough, and anything that comes up to grab my attention away from that, let me say, you might be an emergency, but you're not mine.
Ugh. I'd also love to let our listeners know that yesterday, Natalie recorded an interview with Rob Bell, and it drops on this upcoming Monday. And it was so great. I eavesdropped and listened in. And it was so masterful. It's like Natalie Roy just being a motherfucking genius of the most divine order. So I just wanted to let all y'all know just to go over there.
Double Dose Podcast.
A Double Dose Podcast.
So you can listen to the Create Podcast here. Here and now. And then on Monday, you can listen to the Robcast, where Rob and I have an amazing, amazing conversation about energy and what we can do about our own vital energy, how we can understand ourselves as energy and really empower ourselves to live a life that feels authentic and juicy and connected to everything we really are and everyone we want to be connected to.
And isn't that all you really want to do anyways? We love you.
So much.
We think you're so good looking.
Ugh.
We just want to snuggle with all of you and let you know that you're with us as we're out in the world making trouble. And we hope that we are with you.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.P.E.Community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?